Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Jean-Jacques Rousseau. The Social Contract is a foundational work of modern political philosophy that asks a deceptively simple question: how can people be free while living under collective authority? Written in the context of European monarchies and intensifying debates about legitimacy, the book argues that political power is justified only when it rests on an agreement among equals. Rousseau proposes that a community can form a moral and political body through a pact that unites individuals without reducing them to subjects of another person's will. The result is a vision of sovereignty rooted in the people, law as an expression of shared civic will, and citizenship as active participation rather than passive obedience. The Social Contract continues to matter because it frames enduring disputes about democracy, representation, civic education, inequality, and the limits of state power. Readers encounter a bold attempt to reconcile authority with freedom, and to define what legitimate government looks like when it must answer to the governed. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the problem of legitimate authority. Rousseau begins from the tension between natural freedom and political obedience. People may find themselves ruled by force, tradition, or inherited institutions, but those facts alone do not create moral legitimacy. The central task becomes identifying a basis for authority that does not rely on coercion or mere habit. Rousseau challenges the idea that strong rulers, conquest, or paternal models of power can justify enduring political control. If a society is to be more than domination, it must rest on a form of consent that preserves the moral standing of each person. This leads to the concept of a pact that creates a collective body while protecting individuals from being subordinated to private wills. Legitimate authority is therefore tied to conditions that make obedience compatible with freedom, meaning that laws must be one citizens can regard as their own. The topic clarifies why Rousseau treats political obligation as an ethical question, not simply a practical arrangement. He presses readers to distinguish between living under an imposed order and living under a lawful order that citizens author together, setting the stage for his account of sovereignty, lawmaking, and civic responsibility. Secondly, the social pact and the creation of a political body. A core claim of the social contract is that a true political community is created through a founding agreement that transforms a collection of individuals into a unified civic entity. Rousseau describes this transformation as more than a contract for protection or mutual advantage. It is the formation of a moral and collective person, sometimes understood as the body politic, in which each member becomes both citizen and subject. The distinctive element is reciprocity. Everyone gives themselves to the whole under the same conditions, so no one is placed above others as a master. By entering the pact, individuals exchange unlimited natural liberty for civil liberty secured by law, and they gain a kind of moral freedom by acting according to rules they participate in making. This theme explains why Rousseau treats equality as structural, not ornamental. The pact must be arranged so that no private interest can dominate the collective arrangement from the start. It also highlights the importance of shared commitment, because the political body depends on citizens recognizing a common project rather than merely coexisting. Rousseau frames membership as an active relationship that establishes duties, rights, and a new form of collective agency. Thirdly, general will, common good, and the nature of sovereignty. Rousseau's most influential and contested contribution is his account of the general will. He distinguishes it from the will of all, which can be a simple sum of private preferences. The general will aims at the common good and reflects what citizens would choose when considering themselves as members of a shared community rather than as holders of competing private interests. Under this framework, sovereignty belongs to the people collectively and cannot be legitimately transferred as property. The sovereign is not a ruler, but the collective authority that makes law, with law defined as general in both its source and its object. This topic matters because it reshapes familiar political categories. Power is legitimate not because it is efficient or traditional, but because it expresses the public will oriented toward shared interests. Rousseau also warns about factions, inequality, and corruption that distort civic judgment and cause the will of all to masquerade as the general will. The practical challenge becomes designing institutions and civic habits that help citizens deliberate as equals. Sovereignty in this sense is indivisible and inalienable, yet it requires real procedures and conditions to keep public decisions aligned with the common good rather than captured by elites or special interests. Fourthly, law, legislators, and the design of republican institutions. Rousseau treats law as the defining expression of a legitimate political order. Laws are not decrees aimed at particular individuals, but general rules that apply to all and are made by the sovereign people. Yet he recognizes that translating shared aims into stable institutions is difficult. This leads to his discussion of the legislator as a founding figure who helps frame the constitutional order, proposes structures, and shapes civic norms without becoming a sovereign ruler. the legislator functions as a designer and guide, not as a permanent authority, because sovereignty remains with the people. Rousseau further examines forms of government as the executive or administrative apparatus, distinct from the sovereign lawmaking body. He considers how different arrangements may suit different sizes, geographies, and social conditions, and he stresses that institutional design must guard against the concentration of power. This theme clarifies his Republican emphasis on participation, checks on domination, and alignment between public administration and public law. It also shows his sensitivity to real-world constraints. Even when legitimate principles are clear, the durability of a free polity depends on workable structures, enforcement, and the maintenance of civic equality that makes genuine consent possible. Lastly, civil religion, civic education, and social cohesion. Rousseau argues that political communities require more than laws and procedures. They also need shared commitments that bind citizens to one another and to the public good. He explores how civic education, public festivals, and common beliefs can strengthen solidarity and make sacrifice for the community intelligible. In this context, he introduces the idea of civil religion, a limited set of civic sentiments or doctrines that support loyalty to the laws and basic moral obligations, while rejecting intolerance that would fracture the community. The aim is not theological control for its own sake, but social cohesion that helps citizens see themselves as part of a common project. This topic also highlights a tension in Rousseau's thought. The pursuit of unity can slide into pressure against dissent, especially if authorities claim to speak for the common good. Rousseau presents these issues as practical necessities for preserving a free republic against internal decay, factionalism, and extreme inequality. For modern readers, this section opens discussions about nationalism, civic identity, pluralism, and the role of shared values in democracies. It invites reflection on which forms of public culture support freedom and which threaten it. In conclusion, The Social Contract is best suited for readers who want to understand where modern ideas about popular sovereignty, democratic legitimacy, and civic freedom come from. Students of political philosophy, law, history, and public policy will benefit, as will engaged citizens who want clearer language for debating consent, rights, representation, and the limits of state authority. The book can improve a reader's life by sharpening the ability to judge institutions ethically rather than only strategically. Rousseau encourages readers to ask whether power serves the common good, whether laws are truly general, and whether social conditions allow people to participate as equals. Those questions remain practical today in discussions about polarization, inequality, and trust in government. Compared with many similar classics, Rousseau offers a distinctive framework that links freedom to collective self-rule rather than to simple non-interference. His concepts of the social pact in general will provide tools for analyzing both democratic ideals and democratic failures, including how private interests can capture public decision-making. Buying this book is worthwhile because it is a compact, high-impact text that continues to shape political debates, and it rewards rereading with new insights as current events change. If you would like to support Jean-Jacques Rousseau, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.